About footprints in time. And for the benefit of the tape audience, we have recently returned from the Southwest, and while there found a human-like, and I use very carefully human-like, footprint. It happens to be in a rock formation that is 10 to 50 million years old. That's kind of being conservative. I declare 10 million, and I'm sure that it is older than that, but for safety's sake, we'll let that rest. The important thing is that that takes it past 6,000 years. And many people believe that the earth was created 6,000 years ago, so this would certainly shake their faith. It could even cause them to turn away from God's word. Not because of the word, but because of their having been mistaught from that word. Our Father hides nothing from His elect, though He is accused of it and has been through the years. He hides nothing. It's just that man does not have the understanding. For a person to only see this earth age, which did begin approximately 6,000 years ago, then he's got blinders on. Number one, he has to disregard science, because definitely we have found mammoth bones, and we have them here even in the Chapel Museum, that date back somewhere between 10 and 20 million years ago. Documented. So we know that there was another age other than what we have seen, or you totally choose to blind yourself. Well, has God spoken to us about this in His Word? The answer, of course He has. You have to shuck those blinders away. Peter, being certainly that disciple that Christ most certainly loved, not known as the disciple of love, but certainly that old fisherman kind of told it like it was, like a fisherman would. And he stated in this third chapter of 2 Peter that there were three earth ages. The Greek is very fixed and specific. There was one before this, there is this earth age, and there is the earth age to come. Now, there is no way you will ever understand why you're here in the flesh body that gets sick, can. It gets old. It gets kind of limpy and hurts and pains when we move, and what would God put us in flesh bodies for? And then you will remember back in the sixth chapter of Genesis, in the third verse, it stated that it grieved God that He had made man flesh also. You see, man was not flesh until this earth age. But yet man was made in the image of the Elohim in the Hebrew tongue, which means God and His children. You're pretty well in the image. To be born again, the correct translation is to be born from above. God said, let us make that flesh man in our image. So you are. No great mystery in that. It's very difficult for some people to understand that there was an earth age before this one. And then it's so simple. Our Father created this earth. It is written in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, period. Not maybe, not perhaps, and not when, just period. And then in the Hebrew, in verse 2, it is tohu va-buhu, which is to say, and the earth became void and without form, meaning Satan rebelled and God destroyed the earth age that was. And then placed the souls in flesh born of women, innocent as this little babe that we just anointed, to make his or her mind up on their own, whether they would serve God or he that rebelled, Satan. That's why you're here. We could call this second earth age kind of a test bed to show man what he can do on his own. You've got free will, you've got the right to be stupid. And I'm not making fun of any handicaps or anything like that, but if you choose to play the fool, hey, you can. You can just play at it. Unfortunately, some of us do sometimes and don't even realize it, you know. But, or you can be wise. And what is wisdom? It doesn't take too long to understand that all wisdom comes from our Father, and that if you wish true wisdom, you're going to get it from His Word, which never changes and never needs correction. Man's translation and understanding might need a little tweaking or correction, but God's Word is never wrong from the original, from the manuscript, so to speak. Always right. He knows what He's doing. He spoke it, and that's exactly how it happens. Peter talked about this in 2 Peter, verses, let's take verse 5, where he speaks of the first earth age, that's to say the one that has been. And he has just mentioned prior to this fifth verse that scoffers would come, especially in the end times, saying, hey, it's still the same. Nothing has changed. He isn't coming. He hasn't come now, and He probably never will. Just sun up to sunrise, and that's the way it goes. He said there'll be people saying that. Verse 5. And then he broadens or tries to take the blinders off of them so they can see God's plan. Verse 5. For this they are willingly, I repeat, willingly, are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. Old meaning a long time ago. Billions of years. And the earth standing out of the water and in the water. In other words, the earth was not created void. It was not created not to be lived upon. Verse 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. And of course, as it is written, this earth age stands by for correction by fire. And of course, our Father is that consuming fire. Now, many people feel, well, that's talking about Noah's flood for sure. No, it isn't. Noah's flood was just a heavy dew compared to the flood he's talking about here. This is the flood that when he darkened that the ice age came into being. This is the flood that did most of the rearranging of the furniture in this world. This was the flood that brought in what we have today, the jet stream, from the very revolutions of the earth and the wind that creates what we call the jet stream, that causes thunderstorms, hail, and much disruption. Didn't used to be that way. We found mammoths and under the tundra up in Alaska that have buttercups in their mouth and lush vegetation. Didn't used to be cold up there. But God shook this earth up good. Oh, but if we could only see it. Well, it's good for you to meditate and think, wonder how that came to be. But always be wise enough to search your Father's Word, to know, to understand the mystery that is to some, and yet common sense, if you would, to others. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 45, that great book we're studying in on the international system right at this time, our network. Isaiah chapter 45. I want to pick it up with, if I may, verse 15. The children of God are being very unruly. And he's about to tell them, he said, hey, you better get your act together. I cleared the decks of this old earth once before, and I'll do it again. Don't ever think I won't. Don't threaten me. That's kind of the frame of mind God is in here. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. Now, that's not a true statement. God doesn't hide Himself. It's only that too many people are too blind to see Him. Verse 16. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together. They are makers of idols. They'll fix up their own state of salvation, any kind of little old church they can put together, and teach any kind of a little old system that they can throw together that they can live with and perhaps try to understand God, but it's so easy just to say God is hidden from us. We really don't know what He wants. We just follow in blind faith. Have you ever asked a minister a question and he's told you nobody knows the answer, just have faith? I think probably all of you have if you've church-hopped any. 17. But Israel's long, everlasting salvation, ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Do you know the beginning of the world and do you know the end? Do you know what He means by world without end? Yes, there are separate ages, but we have only one world as far as human beings are concerned. And God likes it. This is where He's setting up His eternal headquarters. And don't forget, when He addresses Israel, He's talking about the house of Israel, the 10 tribes that went north of the Caucasus Mountains, calling themselves later Caucasians, settling Europe, many later migrating to Canada and the good old U.S. of A. 18. For thus saith the Lord that created, here we go, hang on, that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. Now stop and think just about what did He establish it for? Listen. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. That word vain in the Hebrew is tuhu. It means He did not establish it waste and ruin as it became. He didn't establish it that way. That's the way it was when that footprint was made before His anger that destroyed that first earth age. Not in vain, He formed it to be inhabited. And that footprint is a footstep that documents that it was inhabited. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret. Does He speak in secret to you? I hope not. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. Just have faith. That's all you need. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. And anyone that has any common sense, when they go out and when they find in documentaries documenting this earth age and that has been, doesn't get all shook up because God explains it. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. You know what that means? You that have escaped the one world system of thinking. That goes for the church system as well. That would not go into God's Word to hear Him, to hear what He has to say rather than to say the cop-out. He speaks in secret. We're not supposed to know. That's not what God says. I would rather listen to Him than man. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together who have declared this from ancient time. How long ago? Ancient time. This doesn't mean 6,000 years ago. It was declared millions of years ago. Who hath told it from that time? Hath not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. God spoke it. God spoke it through Peter when he said they are willingly ignorant of the first earth age that was destroyed. They are willingly ignorant of taking into mind the depth that God would say unto in the writings of Moses in the book of Genesis, it grieved His heart that He had made man flesh. Why? Because they were falling apart in that also. That is to say, the fallen angels had departed their first habitation, as it is written in Genesis 6, and came to this earth. And cohabited, took to wife the daughters of Adam, and children were born. Do you understand how that comes to pass? Is that any hidden mystery? I think not. We know how impregnation takes place. So don't close your eyes to it. And children were born unto them. And they were malefactors. That is to say, they were Geber, because it was not natural. And there were giants, which is what Geber is in those days, walking this earth. And for that reason, God again had to bring about a flood, not to destroy the age, but to destroy what? To destroy the intermixing of the peoples with fallen angels, for there was only one family found of perfect generation, which the word to the prime in the Hebrew is pedigree, that were still not intermixed with Nephilim, to say, Napha, fallen angels. Yes, angels walked this earth, and yes, Satan himself walked this earth, as it is documented in Job chapter 1, verse 7. Where have you been, Satan? I have been walking to and fro upon the earth, not in spirit, but in actuality. Jeremiah chapter 1. Let's just turn over there while we're here. Did God tell us or not? Can we explain a perfect footprint without blemish? As far as health is concerned, I'm sure that the terrain was jagged, but there was not one scar visible in almost a perfect mold. Then I would ask you, do spiritual bodies scar? I think not. But be that as it may, as I said, these are things for you to meditate upon. Jeremiah chapter 1, well, if this is true, when were we created? When were we? Well, where did your soul come from? I think every Christian is able to meet that out. Well, it came from God. Well, of course it did. He created man himself for his pleasure. As a matter of fact, we completed in the last lecture in this same book of Isaiah, he said, I formed them for myself. God wanted company, but he wanted decent company. He wanted company that he could trust. He wanted company that would love him, not get a bunch of fatheads that would want to run around and become little gods all in themselves. Boy, I'm really something. I am really something. I almost used an old military term. Thank God. The Marines have such a way of expressing themselves, and it gets the job done. But I better not use that. Well, be that as it may. It is so easy for man to get so involved in what he's doing, and it is so very important to him, but not to God. We're like grasshoppers. He loves us, yes, but we are to follow him, not that he follows us. We were created for his pleasure. And he gives you your pleasure when you please him in blessings that are just unmentionable. This particular ministry happens to be an example of that, because we strive. We don't quit. We don't give up. We're can-do type people. When anyone else would say, that's too tough, well, hey, give us a shot at it. We'll with God's help, it's done. It's going to get done. Okay. Where were you? Stop and think a moment. I would just throw into your mind the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. I chose you before the foundations of this earth. The Greek word is katabo, which means I chose you before the overthrow to be mine elect. You earned it, in other words. This is what he says to Jeremiah. Verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now, what is that? In other words, before the seed was even conceived in the womb, I knew you, Jeremiah. Well, certainly he did. He knew him from when all souls were created. Knew what kind of person he was, what he could count on him for. Because people rarely change except for the seeking God and asking help. Pretty well same old people. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee. a prophet unto the nations. And then old Jeremiah says, but I can't speak. And God, don't worry, I'll take care of it. He kind of wants to speak through us anyway. We don't really have anything that important to say. But wouldn't that be, what if you were one of these one-day-a-week Christians that likes to warm a seat or a pew and say, I think that's unfair. God sanctified Jeremiah, and he hadn't done a thing yet to deserve it. Then you show your ignorance because he had been with God. And what he had accomplished with God caused God to sanctify him, knowing he could trust him. Knowing whatever they did to Jeremiah, that he would remain with the Almighty God. He had earned that right. So, I think it goes without saying, who can question the Word of God that Jeremiah was with God before his parents ever even thought about him? Serving God. Earning the right to be sanctified. Because, know this, God is fair and He does not choose one favorite over another until that one deserves it. He will not answer your prayers until you deserve it in either repentance and getting your heart right with Him or having earned it from service. Just the way He works. Totally, completely fair. Anytime something seems unfair that God does, you just don't understand. We just don't understand. Now, over here in chapter 4 of Jeremiah, this is the place where God was... I mentioned Isaiah a while ago. This is the place where God said, hey, I tore this place up once before, and if you don't think I'll do it again, just try me. Using this Jeremiah, we find here in verse 22 of chapter 4 of Jeremiah, open your minds, not just to this earth age, but to the one that was before. For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. Do you know what sottish is in the Hebrew? Stupid. They're stupid children and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. Unfortunately, beloved, I'm ashamed of the fact, being a teacher myself, that the majority of churches do not teach in depth. Quite frankly, they do not teach the Word of God. An evangelist is a very fortunate person. They do not necessarily have to document the Word of God, except for those parts that they utilize in evangelism is to pour the milk out and bring the souls in. But a teacher must document everything he teaches or she teaches from the Word of God and be able to document it whereby it will stand on its own foundation and not tip over. Verse 23, I beheld the earth. What did God say there? I looked at it, and lo, it was without form and void. That's tuhu vavohu again. He said, I looked at it, and man, I had tore it up. And the heavens, and they had no light. What he's saying here, they're a little bit stupid, and if they don't shape up, I did it once. I can do it again. Now, we have His promise that He's not going to do it with water again, but He's still going to get rid of stupidity, of ignorance in His Word. Those that would say, God speaks in secret when He makes everything so plain that a child can understand it. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. He shook. This earth. Right today, we have true north 90 miles away from magnetic north. What did I say? Magnetic north is 90 miles away from true north. If you've ever flown an airplane, you know that pretty quick, or you're not going to get where you want to go. Because you have to remember little slogans like east is least and west is best, because your compass is off with the earth being square. Square, round. Woo! Anyway, He moved it, and that's whenever there was no snow on the poles, and we could find those buttercups where they were grazing on lush meadows. in what we now call the extreme north. 25, I beheld, and lo, I looked, and boy, there was no man. Now, many might say, man? Well, that's not an angel. Well, what's Gabriel's name? Well, his name's Gabriel. That's like asking who's in Grant's tomb, isn't it? Well, what I should have said is, what does Gabriel mean in the Hebrew tongue? It means man, M-A-N, man of God. It grieved God that he had made man flesh. So he was a man before God made him flesh. Genesis 6, verse 3, for those that want to make a note. There was no man there. In other words, I mean, he cleaned house. That's the point. And all the birds of the heavens were fled. There was not one bird left. I marveled when we were in Nebraska at Ash Falls. Hey, if you ever want to go to a place to get in touch with 10 million years ago, go to Ash Falls, Nebraska. And you'll see the birds. You'll see exactly what is in Africa today. You'll see rhinoceroses, zebras, the bones, fossils, but they're there. How did they get in the Americas 10 million years ago? Well, that is another whole subject and story about plates, that it's obvious when you find documentation like that, it moved a bunch when God made his correction, when he created man in the flesh, to make his own mind up, see how good you are, see what choices you make, see if you can cut it or not, see if you will let Satan deceive you or if you can love your own father. Okay? So, how many birds were there on the ark? How many? We had ravens and doves and so forth. He said here, there wasn't a one on the earth. So we're talking about two different things. That's my point. The birds of heaven were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness. There was nothing there. Well, Noah's flood, he sent a dove out and came back with an olive branch. How long does it take an olive tree to grow up to where it produces a branch? Not just a few months. Didn't destroy the vegetation, didn't destroy the fruitful places. And of course, those that like to make a deeper study, you find the purpose for the flood was to destroy the Geba. So it only had to cover that part that was the Geba, which was the world, the whole world involved within that. The Greek word is cosmos, which has a little different meaning than our English word world. 26, I beheld, and lo, the fruitful places was a wilderness, and all the cities. Wow, think about that. All the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his furious anger. The katabo, the overthrow. Boy, was he ticked at Satan to the point that he sentenced him to death, quite frankly. And there is no judgment left for Satan. He's a dead man. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be less desolate, yet will I not make a full end. Why? God has always had certain ones that followed him, that loved him, that respected him. They are called his election. Elect meaning chosen before, predestined. Why? They earned it. They weren't setting any new record of saying, well, you're the prettiest in my whole children, I'm going to use you. If he were to do that, it would have been Satan, because he made him, as it is written in Ezekiel 28, the full pattern, the most beautiful of all. Didn't have anything to do with it. It's what's in your heart. Well, what can we say on these things? If we could just have a little more proof. Oh, it's full of it. Full of proof, over and over, that there was an earth age before this. Our Father does not speak in hidden or a secret way. Turn with me to Psalm 78. The children were wandering in the wilderness. They were out there 40 years. One whole generation had to be destroyed because it would not obey God after he had performed many miracles in their sight as far as opening the Red Sea, conquering Pharaoh for them, making them richer than they had ever been in their lives. And they just said, oh, if we could only be sure he's God. I tell you this, I can understand why God gets disappointed with his children, that they dare not believe him. You can believe him. What did he say here? Verse 24. And had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. I don't want you to read over that. He gave them what? The corn of heaven. Well, what's corn? Well, that's food. And that, what do you eat food for? Well, even in the flesh, you eat food to sustain yourself. Well, if we're made in the exact image of angels, they have to sustain themselves also. Though they are not made in flesh as men, and they were made of a material that was able to impregnate woman. That's documented and very simple in God's Word. Therefore, there is a mass there, if you will follow me. The corn of heaven. 25, men did eat angels' food. Oh, see what I mean? He sent them meat to the full. Now, let me tell you something. You can still to this day eat angels' food. Manna, the hidden manna, hidden to some. But angels' food sustained the children of Israel in part with quail that is very natural for 38 years. 38 years they partook of angels' food. So don't ever think that an angelic body does not need substance or have substance or a mass, that it leaves a footprint. It does. It needs transportation just like you do. That's why that Ezekiel would describe the transportation used by God on which was his throne that came to this earth. Anything secret about that? Well, that's hard to believe. Well, a child can read it. What are you going to do with it? Maybe if we just close our eyes, it'll go away. Well, it will. And I know where you'll go, too. All right? Do people choose to be stupid or sottish? Maybe I'll use that word sottish. Maybe that sounds better. But truth is truth. So never let it be a mystery or marvel when you're in nature of this world that our Father created to understand it. As we move on into new time, as we document the past, which makes even the future a simpler situation to understand, that Father wants you to understand, to see. I tell you this, and I speak from the heart and from the soul. When we were in the presence of this place that God led us to, and I know of none other in existence, the Spirit was very heavy. Do you know what I mean by that? I'm not really a super spiritualist, all right? Though that the Father has spoken to me, and I do what he says. We have a very close relationship. But you know what I mean by that terminology. But I am wise enough to know that when the presence of the Holy Spirit is so strong that even the animals themselves begin to react differently, then the Spirit, they recognize the Spirit. And it's not an unusual thing. I see two people sitting right here that when I baptized their two young daughters, that he is a photographer and he flashed a picture, and a mockingbird was hovering over our heads. Mockingbirds don't hover over people's heads that low during a baptism ceremony. And I simply said, thank you, Father. Animals can feel the Spirit of God. Now, angel food. God created the same example we have. There's good food and there's bad food. As you're not to eat anything that is a scavenger, you're not to, in as much as God is our spiritual food, then you're not to eat any of the bad stuff either. That is to say, the lies and the short-sightedness of those that would say that God's Word is hidden to man. You can't understand it. Don't read it. It's sealed. We're not supposed to know. That is ignorance at its highest peak. God says, I didn't hide. I don't speak that way. I want you to know. So, yes, to me it's a wonderful thing when we can document the first earth age, when we can document that being that stepped there, that walked upon this earth in that first earth age, millions of years old. To me, it documents what God says. It proves it over and over, and nature always will. Well, what does this have to do with the New Testament? Well, a lot. The New Testament is only part, if you would, of the Old. Turn with me as we conclude this. I could go on and on. Boy, hey, I like this. I really do. John chapter 6. I could preach all day and never run out of material right here on this subject. It's not hidden. Excuse me. John chapter 6. I want to tell you what had just happened. Jesus had just fed a whole multitude over with just a few little old chunks of bread. Where did the rest of that bread come from? Who could ever guess? Must have been a miracle. Well, it was, if you call the workings of God miraculous. It certainly is that. But manna or bread is no new thing to him. All right? Not at all. But here, these people had been fed out there, and there's a free meal, and we didn't even have to work. And he took off across another place, and they went around trying to catch up. What are we going to eat again? You know, wanting another free meal. He knew what they had on their mind. So in verse 26, Christ speaks to them. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracle, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. You got a full tummy, and that's all you're thinking about. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which in man shall give you. For him hath God the Father sealed, chose, designated. In other words, it's set in concrete that his work is going to be done as it is written. How about you? What food do you like? Do you like angels' food? Do you like food from heaven? It will sustain you. Why? It gives you such a sharp mind that putting together a pan of cornbread ain't no step at all. Or opening a can of beans, or providing a little heavy stuff and eat higher on the whatever occasionally. All right? But I mean, it gives you the wisdom. The spiritual food gives you the wisdom that you're never short of anything necessarily. Understand? If you plan right. Of course, there's none of us perfect and we all mess up. Sometimes our wives override at the bank and that kind of thing, and we get behind and so forth. Or I believe it's the men that usually end up overriding. Women usually are very careful with checkbooks and so forth. Oh, well, I tried. Okay. Verse 28. Then said they unto him, Well, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? If there's any way we can get in on these free meals, hey, tell us. 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And beloved, that you would believe enough to believe what he says, what he teaches, regardless of what man might say. Like I said, sometimes we come to a new place. It's going to have to strengthen your faith or you're going to fall out. Well, I can't buy that. I see it, but I don't believe it. You know, choose not. I don't know, it's up to you. But do you see what I mean? But the deeper you go into our Father's Word, the simpler it becomes. That's the way He is. Very natural. 30. They said therefore unto Him, What sign? Now look at people. I mean, he has fed a whole multitude with a few little loaves of bread, and they got the nerve to ask for a sign. Isn't that amazing? It really is, isn't it? What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? Question. What dost thou work? They'd already seen an example that most of you haven't, and you still have faith. Our fathers, 31, did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. That true bread, of course, is Christ for us today. He is our manna, our truth. When we eat and sup of that word, 33, For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And there is no other life, for flesh is death within itself. Do you realize that living in the flesh is part of the transition of dying? I mean, think about it. Life in the flesh is part of the transition of death, one day at a time. So you've got to surely look be above that. To eternal life within him. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Oh, we want to stick right with you, old buddy. Just pour it on us. They still haven't seen the picture, okay? And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. If you believe on him and you believe on his word, you don't have any problem or thirst for knowledge concerning that footprint. But there are many people that are not taught the truth of the word. That truth might even cause them to stumble. Well, that preacher lied to me. You know, they might say, or something of that. You know people. I just talk pretty plain, all right? But you know people as well as I do. That's what they would say and think. It would really bomb them out. But it's not going to you, because you feed of the manna, the word, and you choose to believe him who made it possible. That if we trust him to guide us, he will even lead us to knowledge and proof when we pray for it, documentation, and provide us with leadership, he being our leader, whereby we do not hunger for truth or for understanding, but are well-fed truth. We don't do it. This man doesn't do it, and you don't. He gives it to us through his gifts. Why? Because of what he just said. We believe. We believe this word, properly translated, and to meditate upon it in our mind, that he is real. Christianity is not a religion, but a reality. Okay, I want to close, but I want to get to, you might read this entire chapter, but I want to go down to, he would say in verse 43, murmur not against among yourselves. Many people do that, okay, out in the world. No man can draw near to me, and so forth. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, self, which I will give for the life of the world. There is no other life. That is the only life of the world. You observe this life of the world. It just happens to be in the first earth age. I don't know how many geologists we have in this building, but you all know how long approximately it takes stone to form and the method in which it does and how fascinating. He is life, but the only life that you really want to be concerned about is that life in the third earth age. I'm saying to set aside for, to plan toward. and to plan for the life, and when I speak of life, I mean eternal life. In the third earth age, is to be aware of the first. For as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. And the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. A little mumbo jumbo? No, think about it. That has been shall be again. That has already gone by will come around again. There is nothing new under the sun. It's just that man has a little trouble sometimes getting this to kick into gear. I'm quoting from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, in case anyone wants to make a note of those statements I just made. Eve is the mother of all living. Why? Through her would come Christ, and He is the bread of life. How perfect our Father's word, and there should never be any trouble. Shouldn't be. We're not perfect yet. Did any of you know that? We're just not, all right? But we try, and God blesses that. I love you for that. I'm going to quit there. Again, His Word is so complete, and I never tire of digging into that Word, praying for more of that meat, that food that He sends, that sustains us spiritually, and lets us know. I'm going to make a statement. The person that left this footprint could have been a million years old. And that's a perfect foot. It's not damaged. There's no age on it. Do you understand? I forget what they call a foot doctor, but I would like to have one examine that sometime, and he'd tell you, that's the best foot I've ever seen. That's perfect. Boy, if I had an arch like that, I'd really be something, you know. But you see, that's the way God deals with us, is with perfection. So, what am I saying? As a teacher, naturally, I don't want facts or truth to shake people up. I want you to understand. And my ability to teach from His Word is supposed to accomplish that. And I guess the reason I'm rattling on here is I hope that it has, in part. We could go on and on. Our Father's world is beautiful. Let us open our eyes to it. Father, we come to You and we ask that You lead, guide, direct, Father. As we in this generation of the fig tree, the final generation, we thank You, Father, for having called this to our attention to make us stop, to meditate upon the spirit of even the nature in this location. And that is to say, the awesome of Thy presence. And Father, we look forward to that day when we will all be back with You. Even in that third earth age, we ask that You be with us in continuance. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.